Life can be stressful. To top it off, we need to be able to have enough clarity in our thinking to make right, God-honoring decisions. So how do you do it? Christian Questions, Sunday, 6 to 7 a.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. Tim's keeping an eye on the roads. Colin will be here later on to talk about movies. Mike Evans will be here later for our gratuitous mention of the word Kardashian. Seems like that's on his segment every day. And probably today because that Bruce Jenner thing is on ABC tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. He likes to call him.
I have no story about Bruce Jenner other than the one time I interviewed him, and he was among the most boring interviews I've ever had in my life. Of course, at that time, he was still a guy as opposed to a guy in transition to a woman, which he apparently is now.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out tonight how far he's going with that transition.
I can't tell you how little I care about that story.
I know. And then when did he decide that he needed to be a woman?
Apparently, I don't know, from some of the articles I read, it's been a long time.
Here is what I know about Bruce Jenner, because I had to do research before I interviewed him, and I interviewed him maybe 20 years ago. But when he won the decathlon at the 1976 Summer Olympics in Montreal, Canada.
Wow.
That's not something that you normally can turn into big bucks. Okay, congratulations, you're a gold medal decathlete. First of all, you can't get most people to tell you what the 10 events are that are in the decathlon. I know I can't.
I don't know, but the way you said that sounded kind of dirty.
Decathlete?
Yeah.
That's what he was. But he not only made the cover of Sports Illustrated, but also the cover of Wheaties boxes as, you know, the greatest athlete in the world, which I guess if you win all those 10 events that are in there, you know, you qualify. But he also understood that going forward, there's not a lot of money in being a professional decathlete.
Yeah.
So he understood, I've got to take a big bite of this apple while I can and get the endorsement dollars while I can. And he did. I don't know if he had already had an agent or if he was just really smart about business himself, but he lined up deals from here to the end of the earth and made himself into a multimillionaire in those first couple of years. And he really never did anything else that kept him famous. I mean, he appeared in a couple of movies and TV shows proving that he was not an actor. And that was essentially the Bruce Jenner story. And then he, you know, marries a Kardashian and he gets involved in that whole misbegotten tabloid family. And now he's got this whole story of his own. So, like I said, I just remember interviewing him, and I was scheduled to interview him for, it was one of those morning radio things where you get the guest for 8 or 9 minutes. 3 minutes into it, I thought, I'm dead. This guy's giving me monosyllabic answers or boring answers, or I would ask him about a story and he would say, yeah, that did happen.
Wouldn't lead to anything else.
And now you tell the story, Bruce, because it's not my job to tell your story. It's your job to tell. Oh, it was like pulling teeth. I think I actually pulled the interview after about 5 minutes. I just
thank you, Bruce, for joining me.
Thanks for stopping in.
Yeah,
I had so much more to say.
Yeah. Like, no, I don't have to talk to Wichita until 3 more minutes. So
I'm sorry, we're just not continuing with this. I'll be able to fill the time without you, Bruce. Thanks. Thanks so much.
There was a few people in here like that. We had John Lovitz was one. We had John Lovitz on the air. Yeah. Could not get him out of here fast enough.
Don Knotts.
Oh, Don Knotts was horrible
was
on the phone.
That was towards the end of his runway. There,
yeah, well,
so.
he was pretty old then. And,
yeah.
And you were doing the Don Knotts impression to Don Knotts,
yeah.
Which completely freaked him out, I'm sure. He was 90 years old at the time, Dan.
Yeah, I know. And then who else? Andy Dick, I think. And he was an Andy that day.
Andy Dick? I don't know if we ever...
I thought we had Andy Dick.
No, Paulie Shore.
Oh, Paulie Shore. That was it. That was it, Paulie Shore.
I had a bad experience with Gilbert Gottfried.
He was here in this... Maybe it was...
It was with me.
It was.
We had another guest here, a comedian who was in the studio, and Gilbert was working the funny bone downstairs, and we saw him come up the escalator right outside our window here from the phony bone downstairs, and he walked by, and I don't remember who the guest was, but the guest waved to him and waved him in.
Yeah.
And you went to the front door and let him in, and Gilbert came in here and was boring.
Oh, he was boring when I met him. And he's, hi, how are you?
He was quiet. I mean, he's got that outrageous personality.
Yeah.
All right.
But you bring him in here and nothing. And then after we get off the air, he wanted to use the phone in my office to make long-distance calls. This is how long ago that was, where you had to pay for that. He didn't want to use his cell phone because he would use up his minutes and it would cost him. So he wanted to do... I mean, he was a real cheapskate.
Yeah. No, he's the king of that, I've heard.
he was bad about that. So none of those people will be on today's show. I'll tell you who today's guest is. My old friend, John Max. John was a writer for The Tonight Show with Jay Leno from his first show to his last show and then to his second last show. He was there through all those years. I think he even worked with Jay on the 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock show. He's written a book about his experience doing that, and he's also written for 18 Oscar broadcasts and a whole bunch of other things. He's written a book about his experience. It's called Monologue, What Makes America Laugh Before Bed. And at the top, it says, John Max is one of the greatest comedy writers of all time. That quote came from Chris Rock.
Wow.
How's that? Right.
That's
there.
A nice little right blurb there. To put on that, the cover there.
That is going to get people to buy the book. And we'll get 3 or 4 people to buy it today as well. He'll join us in about 15 minutes or so. And he's got some great stories from behind the scenes. I will tell you a behind-the-scenes story of John Max and my friendship with him. I'll tell it to you now, since I don't want to eat into his time when he is actually on with me. I was doing a morning radio show in Washington, D.C. in the late 80s and into the early 90s, before I came here to St. Louis. And I get a phone call one day from a guy. Hi, my name is John. I don't work in show business at all, but I'd like to write jokes for you. Well, I was doing a morning radio show, and it wasn't a joke-heavy show, but I thought, well, and I explained this to him, and I said, well, I'm not sure I need it. He said, no, I'll write you a bunch of jokes, and you don't have to pay me as an employee. Just pay me for each joke you use. And so we agreed upon a very small fee, and I would use that. And I said, before I agreed to it, I said, well, I'll tell you what, tomorrow, send me some jokes, and I just want to see what you have. So the next morning, I was on from 5:30 until 10 in the morning, and I got to the radio station at 5 o'clock, and there on the fax machine were 2 pages of jokes that John had written either late the previous night or gotten up early that morning and written and sent to me, and most of them were really funny. But I also knew, you know,
if I use a bunch of these.
Well, I wanted to use a bunch of these, but, you know, I had a little budget problem there. And also, it wasn't really a joke-heavy show. I wasn't doing a monologue on the radio. I was doing a morning show. But I did use a few of them, and we continued. Then I said, okay, you could do this, and it kind of was a freelancer doing that stuff for me. And he did it for me for, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 months. And then one day he calls up and he says, I have some bad news. I said, what? What's going on? And by this point, he had introduced me to some of the people that he knew. He worked in a political consulting firm with James Carville and Paul Begala and people like that.
That's where he was getting all the jokes.
Yeah. And he used to write jokes for politicians when they went out and made speeches and all that sort of stuff. He says, I have bad news for you. I said, what? He said, well, Jay Leno is taking over the Tonight Show full time. I said, yeah. He said, well, I've been sending him jokes like I've been sending them to you. Not the same ones. I wrote different jokes for him than I wrote for you. And when he's been filling in for Carson, he would use some of my jokes and he would pay me just like you pay me. And I said, well, that's great. Why is that bad news? He said, well, Jay has hired me to be a writer on the show full time, and I'm going to move out there to California and do that.
Wow.
And I said, I will double whatever Jay is paying you. And John said, Paul, you can't double what you're paying me. I mean, I was joking. And then he went off and had a great career there as one of the great joke writers, comedy writers, in show business. And did that for 22 years with Jay and for a whole bunch of other people. And we'll hear some of his stories in a little while. And so several years after that, he and I stayed in touch. And he agreed to come back on my show, which he had not done before, but he agreed to kind of be a contributor to my show every Friday afternoon. I used to have him on for about 10 minutes or so, and he would do jokes about what was going on behind the scenes, or, when he worked on an Oscars telecast, he would make jokes about Tom Cruise and all that sort of stuff. It was great. It was one of my favorite weekly features on the show. That and the Harris Challenge were the things I always looked forward to on Fridays. Challenge and John Max, I knew were going to be killer segments of the show. And, several years went by, and I went to Los Angeles on vacation. And I called John ahead of time, and I said, hey, I'm coming out there. I'd love to get together if you...
Who is this?
Lunch. No. I'd love to get together for lunch. He said, great, absolutely. And I said, can you take me someplace show busy? And he said, absolutely. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but I guarantee you Larry King will be there. Said, well, I was actually hoping for more than that. He said, no, some other people will be there too, but I guarantee you Larry King will be there. Okay, so I fly out there, and on the day that we've arranged, I go and meet him, and he takes me to a place in Beverly Hills called Nate and Al's, which is a deli. And it's lunchtime, and it's packed. And when I get there, John is already sitting there at a booth. And I see him, and I wave, and I walk over to him, and he puts his hand up as if to stop me. And I stop and put my hands up like, what's wrong? He said, he points to my left, and I look over, and there's Larry King with pastrami hanging out of his mouth as he's talking.
Hello, pastrami.
Yeah. There were three or four other people there, and I finally get to the table where John's sitting, and I said, is he here every day? He said, yes, he's here every day. Sometimes he comes at breakfast and stays and just hangs out with people and then has lunch here, too. Every single day. That's how I can guarantee you that Larry King would be here when you showed up. So just a little inside stuff from John. We'll get to him in a few minutes.
Well, did you get to meet Larry, though, while you were sitting?
I had actually met Larry. The reason why John said that is because I had a run-in with Larry in my years in Washington. Remember a couple of weeks ago on the show we were making fun of Larry King's USA Today column?
Yes.
Is it the old one with dot, dot, dot?
Yes.
If you're putting out a bowl of Jell-O, put a spoon out for me, dot, dot, dot. That's what it was. Well, I used to do that routine on the air on my show when Larry had that column. I would read his column on the air in his voice with the dot, dot, dots included. And I heard through the grapevine from somebody who knew him, he did not like this. He lived in Washington. He didn't get up in the morning and listen to morning radio. But word got around to him, hey, there's a guy who's doing your column and adding in extra items that you didn't write. And he's making you look like a fool.
Oh, wow.
And apparently Larry didn't like that. Okay, so at one point I get invited to a big party celebrating the publication of a book by Tony Kornheiser, who you know from PTI on ESPN. Well, I knew Tony when he was a writer for the Washington Post, and he would come on my show occasionally, and we'd gotten to be kind of friendly, and so I got invited to this thing, and I go there, and I walk across the room, and there's Tony, and who's sitting at the table with Tony? Larry King. I thought, what am I going to do here? I said, I'm just going to play this completely cool, and I walk up, and Tony sees me, and, hey, Paul, how are you? Paul, do you know Larry King? Larry is Paul Harris, and King shoots me a look as if to say, if I could kill you now... I would take you down.
I would hang you with my suspenders.
Yeah. If we were building a gallows in this town, I'd make sure you were on it. Dot, dot, dot.
Mike Shannon's like that.
Is he?
Yes. He does not like people imitating
him. So you do the best Mike Shannon in town. Does he know that you do that? And have you met him since then?
I have met him. I've been around him. And I don't know that he knows that I'm the one that does the Mike Shannon. I don't know if he does. But, and Craig Hawksley did Mike Shannon for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And he didn't like that either.
Yeah.
With Craig doing that.
Well, that's the reason that John said, when you come here, Larry King will definitely be here. Knowing that in some weird world, I was Larry's arch nemesis because I used to read his column on the air. All right, let's take the break. And then when we come back, John will be here with some showbiz stories. And we'll talk about working for Leno and his thoughts on the other late night stuff, particularly all the changes that are coming this year with Letterman going away in a month and Jon Stewart going away on August 6th and Stephen Colbert coming in later this year and all of that. This will be a lot of fun. John Max coming up next here on the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, so I heard that they were watching the sunrise this morning, and the arc of the Earth was making the sunrise look great. So today, we get to watch the sunset with the arc of the Earth. Is that right, Tim?
You make no sense at all.
McGraw mentioned something about the arc.
You see,
of the
here's
Earth.
Here's where we get into trouble. It's Dan Strauss translating something we didn't understand from McGraw in the first place.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
No, here's what it was. We were flying. Okay, you've got the horizon, and then there was this bank of clouds. So there was this little slit where the sun could come up. And we were flying, and I was talking to McGraw, and I said, do you see this sunset? Well, you know he's over, what, on the 16th floor
sunrise.
Over at the club tower.
Yeah, the TV studio.
And he's going, well, it's the arc of the, you know, it's the curvature of the Earth and the atmosphere that's making. And I'm like, no, McGraw, I'm looking at a ball. It's a sun. Then he goes, well, from where I'm sitting, well, you're on the 16th floor, and it was up pretty high. It's not like we were 10,000 feet up.
Yeah, but again, the curvature of the Earth thing, you're not on the International Space Station.
No.
You're on the 16th floor of the University Club Tower in Clayton.
Well, he kept saying to me, well, it's I'm seeing, and I'm like, I'm looking at a ball that's orange, and it's coming up, and it's the sun.
Oh.
I wish you folks in St. Louis could see this full sun this morning.
Yeah, this full sun, yeah.
That was funny, and I have to account that, okay, he's not on ground level. He's 16 floors up, so he's seen pretty much what I am, but his explanation, you know.
If you're like, seeing a fiery orange ball in the sky today, it might be the sun. Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't think we're going to see the sunset. We've got a pretty good cloud cover out there.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Well, if you're coming in, and I hate how this goes, eastbound 70 into westbound 44 to southbound 55. But if you're coming in on eastbound 70 / westbound 44, they've got it down to one lane in the depressed section. So traffic is running slow from Salisbury up to almost the Poplar Street Bridge. Northbound 55, that right lane is backed up to park. On westbound 40, things are already stacking up from Kings Highway to McCausland and 270 out through Maryville Center. This traffic report is brought to you by Ortho Deer Be Gone Repellent. It keeps animals from destroying the plants in your garden, and the no-stink formula works without smelling horrible. Learn more about how Deer Be Gone lives up to its name at ortho.com. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
I'm Kelly Jackson. Monday morning on McGraw Live, we check in with the family of the one man serving life in prison for marijuana. David Stokes weighs in from the Show Me Institute. Andy Strickland recaps the sports weekend. And Gail Pennington reviews your television choices for the week. I wonder if The Bachelor's coming back soon. It's McGraw Live. Join us at 6 a.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
At Ernie Petty Collision, people are always asking questions.
How often should I rotate my tires?
Lots of questions.
Is it better to buy two or four tires at a time?
But when you get a reputation for knowing about cars, people start asking about other things.
Why are manhole covers round? Is it okay to serve red wine with fish? Who was Martin Van Buren's first vice president?
Richard Minter Johnson. Lucky guess. Here's my point. If you have questions about tires, Ernie Petty Collision has answers. And no matter what you drive, Ernie Petty Collision has a tire for you. From companies like Michelin, BF Goodrich, Uniroyal, and Cooper.
Do these pants make me look fat?
I'm not even going there.
For more than 30 years, Ernie Batty Collision Center has cared about their customers, and it shows. Open Monday through Friday, 8 till 5, Ernie Batty Collision Center is your one-stop service for tires, collision, and mechanical repairs. 4823 Potomac, across from Uncle Bill's Pancake House off South Kings Highway. Ernie Batty Collision Center, where quality and customer satisfaction count. Go to ErniePattyCollision.com.
Hi, this is Lori Grenier. You've seen me on Shark Tank. I've developed, launched, and marketed over 400 products. Applying for a traditional loan is frustrating. There's paperwork, references, tax forms. You wait weeks for an answer, and you may not get the funds. There's a new way to get funding without the hassle. It's called Cabbage. That's Cabbage with a K. Here's how it works. Go to Cabbage.com, fill out the online application. It takes minutes to complete, and you'll get a decision with none of the waiting. You could have immediate access to a line of credit of up to $100,000. No fees of any kind to set up your line, and you don't pay a cent until you take a loan. It's helpful for a business to have security and flexibility. Cabbage is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. It's provided funds to over 50,000 businesses and has been named one of Forbes' top 100 companies twice in a row. So check out Cabbage.com. That's Cabbage with a K, K-A-B-B-A-G-E, or call 888-CABBAGE. The number one online provider of small business loans.
For months, you've heard about the latest sales at Granite Busters.
Well, there are other reasons why you should choose Granite Busters for your stone countertops.
Granite Busters has a huge on-site display of slabs.
Over 500 of them.
In just about every color and style imaginable. Most other granite retailers have a few slabs or samples, but make you drive across town to their supplier's warehouse to shop around for the slab you want.
Who wants to do that?
You won't have to at Granite Busters. Granite Busters also offers precision technology. They use a laser template to capture the exact dimensions of your kitchen. Once you pick out your slab, you'll see on a large computer screen how that exact stone pattern will look on your countertops.
They even match up the color flow with the shape of your counters.
Then they use a laser to precisely cut the slab to your specific measurements. And another machine perfectly cuts the edges, eliminating potential human error and ensures your satisfaction. It's why they guarantee every installation for life.
Nobody else does that.
Granite Busters, the best deal and so much more. 1752 Jeffco Boulevard in Arnold.
Online at GraniteBusters.com.
The robots are coming. It's the first Robotics Championship, April 23rd to the 25th, at three downtown St. Louis locations. Hundreds of student robot teams, ages 6 to 18 from all over the world, meet on special playing fields to decide who's got the top bot. There's lots of fun for the whole family. Best of all, it's free. Meet the teams, see amazing science displays, and experience hands-on tech fun. April 23rd to the 25th. Find your way there at firstchampionship.org. That's First Championship.
Baseball season's upon us. Time to fire up the grill. Broilmaster, the most durable grill known to man, features an outstanding roster of grills, smokers, and slow cookers, including their new fire-breathing charcoal grill. Broilmaster Grills, smoke the competition. With a lifetime limited warranty on most parts, see BroilmasterSTL.com for the winning lineup at the Fireplace and Grill Center on Manchester or Gas Appliance Service near Westport. Visit BroilmasterSTL.com for a special offer today.
Looking for that picture-perfect lawn? Look no more. DynaGreen and DynaGreenInfo.com. With their DynaGreen long-lasting, that's zero-phosphorus fertilizer that delivers extended brilliant color for weeks and months. It won't stain the sidewalks, driveways, or patios and can be applied all year long. DynaGreen long-lasting at your independent lawn and garden dealer or DynaGreenInfo.com. You can find DynaGreen at Kirkwood Material.
Hi, this is John Shea. Come out and see me and Jim McMillan as we broadcast the Inside Out Show from 11 to 1 at Hallmark Stone this Saturday. Save up to 50% on granite remnants. All the proceeds from this sale benefit Annie's Hope and Carney's Kids Charities. They're located off I-44 at Soccer Park Exit. See their website at hallmarkstone.com for information and directions. We hope to see you there Saturday at the Granite Remnant Sale at Hallmark Stone in Fenton.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me, and John Max is on the phone now. If you've listened to my show through the years, you've heard John on the air. Not only has he been a contributor to my radio shows, but he also was there with Jay Leno writing jokes for The Tonight Show from the moment Jay took over. In fact, he worked for Jay even before Jay took over full-time in February of 1992. And he was there through both times Jay had a finale on that show, including the last one in February of last year. Now he writes about that experience and the experience of writing on 18 Oscars telecasts and the Emmys and the Tonys and the Golden Globes and the always coveted World Stunt Awards, and not to mention last Sunday's huge Academy of Country Music Awards in Dallas at the Cowboys Stadium, which I know, John, because you're from Philadelphia as an Eagles fan, probably made you sick just being in that room, didn't it?
It was killing me. Luckily, I was down there for other events. I also wrote for the Fliegelman Bar Mitzvah the day before, which was really good. But it just killed me to be there. And then to have to write for Tony Romo and make him look good, I believe the word is sickened. I was sickened.
But that's the way you are. You'll write for anybody, won't you?
Well, you know something? I wouldn't define it that narrowly. Anything or anybody. It doesn't have to be a person.
In the book, you say that, by the way, the book is called Monologue, What Makes America Laugh Before Bed. And it's not only a great look at what's happened in late night television for the last couple of decades, but also pretty good insight into what is going to happen as things change so much this year. But in the book, John, you say that you wrote 500,000 jokes for Jay Leno.
Yeah, it's, you know, I did the math because I'm, as you know me for so long, you know I'm a baseball statistic numbers freak. And so Jay did 4,610 shows, and I wrote about 100 jokes a day for the monologue, and there was probably 10 to 15 other jokes written for sketches that were going to be on that night. Throw in a Sunday when you'd send another 50 or so to prime the pump for Monday's monologue. I figured out it was 500,000. And they told me afterwards that I had 18,000 in the air, which I prefer to look at. That meant 482,000 jokes are in a landfill.
What happened to those jokes?
They just thrown out. Because, since it's a topical monologue, there's really not anything that can be reused. Although, the Shannon Doherty jokes of the 1990s, of course, became the Paris Hilton jokes, became the Lindsay Lohan jokes. It's just the interchangeable names.
Explain the process that you would go through each day to write jokes for the monologue. And you said you wrote 100 a day. How did that work?
I get up, around 6:30 in the morning and start just looking at the different websites, read the LA Times, read a couple of newspapers, and just start to get an idea of what was going on out there. On the ride in, while I was driving, I would never text and drive. I would actually handwrite, which made me even more dangerous.
Wow.
I would sit down, because the 101, as you know, has no traffic in LA.
Oh, no, there's no traffic in Los Angeles.
So, and I'd write down 9 topics, and it was a very arbitrary number, but I, like today, for example, we would say the big topics would be, the Hillary and her fundraising problems, and it might be Loretta Lynch gets confirmed, and it might be, Paul Blart to win Best Picture, and so, you'd write down those topics, and then I would just start doing association between the two. That gets you up to about 50, 60 jokes, where you just write something, 2 or 3 on 4 or 5 on each topic, cross-reference. Then I would go to the what I call the formula jokes. It's so hot, it's so cold, the economy's so bad, gas prices are so high. Whatever big topic was in the news, and you do like a run of short jokes. Then you go to the weird stories. A man in Belgium fell into a wood chipper.
Mm-hmm.
That's a story.
Yep.
And they're making a movie about him, Goodbye, Mr. Chips. That kind of stuff. you get a bunch of quick jokes, and then you get up to about 90, and then the last hour of the day, I'd really start to do, I'll call them the smarter jokes, where you're really getting into twist, punchline, twist again, punchline, and move on. And so, that gets you to about 100.
So like me, in the days when I was doing a daily radio show, you'd wake up every morning and say, please let there be enough stupid people doing enough stupid things in the world so I can keep my job.
In an ideal world, on any given day, a drunken senator would get onto a flight with a hooker, that a drunken airline pilot would land safely, and as they would get out of the plane, Arnold Schwarzenegger would be there cavorting with a maid. If that happened, I would die a happy
day. Speaking of Schwarzenegger, you were there on the night that he surprised everybody by announcing that he was going to run for governor of California, something that you write in the book, not only did you not know, Jay didn't know, and Arnold's people didn't know.
I was I had been called from time to time by Arnold to write what he called chokes. I need some chokes. I'm doing a roast of Tom Arnold. You know Tom Arnold, you know. He called me up and he said, "I'm coming on the show to talk about governor." I said, "Well, how do you want me to write them?" And he said, "I'm not running." Okay, so I wrote a bunch of jokes about him not running, and he came on, and I was convinced he was going to endorse Dick Reardon. And he goes through and he tells this joke about getting a bikini wax, which is not a joke you normally would do if you're about to announce for the, you know, for governor of California.
Although it is California.
It is California. And, you know, actually just count the pro bikini wax vote. That's about 68%. It's a landslide.
Yeah.
By the way, just to remember, that election was, by the end, the ballot was Gary Coleman, Gallagher, Angeline, and Mary Carey, the porn star. It looked like the bottom row of a bad Hollywood Squares episode. So he gets on and he starts to say, and he's building up to the, and I'm convinced as someone who did politics for years, he's about to say, and that is why I'm going to endorse Dick Reardon. He goes, and that is why I am announcing, and he stutters, like a stutter step, and he goes, running for governor of California. And Jay slumps back like, what? Kevin Eubanks looks like, oh my God. And I turn around, I'm with this political consultant, and the consultant turns completely pale.
This is Arnold's consultant.
Arnold's political consultant, who was there, we thought, obviously, and I thought, to just ease him out of the race. And the consultant looks at me and goes, we need two things right away. Can you help us? I said, what do you need? He goes, we need a press room. Well, normally if you're about to announce for governor, it would seem that you would have everything set up.
Yeah, you'd prep for that.
And then he said, and we need a private room where Arnold can call Maria. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, Maria doesn't know. And then later on I found out there was a lot of things she didn't know. She didn't know about running for governor.
I wonder if the maid knew.
You know something? I'm going to guess. You know, it was it was pregnant with possibilities. But it was, and I'm convinced to that day that, you know, when Arnold saw the audience cheering and how nuts they were going and they were wild for him, because remember, this was, you know, our Terminator hero at the time.
Yeah.
I think he decided mid-sentence. The only other thing, Paul, was, or he's such a good showman, he kept a secret from everybody.
Yeah, no, I don't think he is.
Let's not put it this way. He didn't quite win Best Actor yet. I'll just leave it at that.
Now, let me ask you, as a Californian, or a Californian, as he would say, how did that whole governor thing work out?
You know, the truth is, when you look at Arnold's policies and he's really almost like a moderate Democrat. And so he was always fighting, you know, two battles. He was fighting the battles with the conservative Republicans in the legislature. And he's also fighting a battle with liberal Democrats. So in the end, he ended up kind of being a tax and spend, and the state kind of ended up with, I think our deficit is $19 trillion at this point or something like that.
Yeah. I'm sure
so
he can get that
well.
Back. Yeah, I'm sure he can get that back. Talking with John Max, who wrote for Jay Leno for 22 years and has a book about his experiences called Monologue, What Makes America Laugh Before Bed. You were talking before about the kind of jokes and how you wrote jokes for Jay and giving him 100 a day, and then he would winnow them down. Would a joke you wrote for Jay also work for Dave or Jimmy or Jimmy or any of the others?
I think a lot of the jokes, the truth are when it comes to the late-nighters, are pretty interchangeable. I don't know if they'd necessarily work for Jimmy Fallon because his style is so different. But, I mean, if you took the topic and the punchline and you put it in Jimmy Fallon's voice or in Dave's voice, I mean, you know, I think they would work. What they don't do is people always say, well, you also work for, you know, Marty Short and Billy Crystal and Chris Rock. That's totally different. The topic works for them, but the punchline and the twist would be completely different.
So the late night host might be interchangeable, but you also wrote for 18 Academy Award shows, and the hosts are not interchangeable.
Exactly. And that's also really different, Paul, as you know, because it's not a topical. You know, when a Billy Crystal or a Chris Rock or Steve Martin comes out at the top of the Oscars, it's not topical. They're talking about the movies and the event and the people in the audience. Now, you might have a topical punchline. You might say, movie X reminds me of this that's topical in the news, but the setup's never going to be topical or anything. It's all going to be about the event and the event itself. And that's, I think, where the great Oscar hosts get it. They make it about the show, and the hosts that haven't done as well tend to make it a little bit more about themselves or do what they traditionally do in their regular jobs.
And speaking of great Oscar hosts, John has written for Billy Crystal and Steve Martin and Chris Rock and, of course, the best of them all, James Franco.
Well, there's, you know, again, I was fortunate that year in that I didn't, I was, you know, there's show writers and there's host writers, and sometimes you write both. So for Steve and Chris and Billy, I was a show writer and a host writer. For the that year of 2011, I was hired as a show writer. I got brought in to try and help in the last few days before the telecast. But they were, you know, the way I always put it, Paul, is this. You need a comic to host a show like that.
Mm-hmm.
You need a total entertainer like a Hugh Jackman. Actors and people who are used to multiple takes and lines and not being live in the moment, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, and it could be fine if you do an award show where there isn't somebody who's going to come out there and try to be the opening entertainer, but is really just going to be more of an MC. That's worked many times on different broadcasts. But for the Oscars in particular, you do need that full-time person who's comfortable out there in one at the center of the stage.
Exactly. You know, again, there's a lot of shows where you can have a traffic cop. You know what I mean? It's, you know, welcome to the whatever People's Choice Awards, and, you know, we're going to get right to it. Here's our first presenter. I get that. But, again, and especially since Billy set the bar so high, you know, for so many years, and, you know, that, you know, you'd have an opening movie, you'd have a monologue, you'd have songs. People came to expect 10 to 12 minutes of, you know, sheer entertainment. And when they get 2 minutes of people who aren't really comfortable in that role, it really doesn't work well.
I mentioned that you were there with Jay from even before he took over as the full-time host, and you were there right through the end, and then the other end, because he was yanked off the air there in 2009 for Conan O'Brien, and then there was that Jay at 10, or as we in the Midwest call it, the Jay at 9 experiment. You were part of that as well. What do you remember about it?
I don't remember a single thing.
You're lying.
Yeah, I am lying. No, it was, you know, again, when coming into it, you know, Jay was born for late night. He was born for the Tonight Show. That was the thing. And he, you know, he did what, you know, he gave it his best, but he wasn't allowed to be Jay. You know, it was like, look, we're doing the Tonight Show with Conan, and I don't think NBC really let Conan do what he does best, and I don't think they let Jay do what he does best, and I think things settled down to where they should, as I'll call it, rightfully be. You know, Jay went back to the Tonight Show. Conan has his own very good show on TBS. You know, and everyone else has a late night show right now except for the two of us.
Yeah, that's right. And what do you think of the changing landscape of late night? You've got David Letterman, who's going off the air in just a few weeks. You've got Jon Stewart, who's going to hang it up on August 6th. Stephen Colbert is coming in. Trevor Noah is going to take over for Jon Stewart. Jay gave way to Jimmy last year. I mean, this is a big change from where it was just 2 years ago.
Exactly. I mean, you know, there was, you know, we grew up, you know, although both of us are 30 years old, Paul, we both grew up on Johnny Carson.
Right.
And then there was Jay and Dave, and that was what dominated. And even the shows afterwards, you know, they were the ones that everyone judged by and what they called the late night wars or whatever. But we knew there was two. And now, you know, I actually think it's a good thing. You know, there's not going to ever be a day again where 10 million people watch, you know, one late night show. But there's something for everybody. If you like more variety sketch comedy and great celebrity interactions, you're going to watch Jimmy Fallon. If you want more of a traditional monologue, you might watch Seth Meyers or Conan.
No, nobody's watching Seth Meyers.
Okay, there you go. If you want political, do you know what I mean? You're going to watch Bill Maher, or you're going to watch Jon Stewart for a little while longer, and you know. I'm going to go out on a limb. The one thing I think the game changer, Paul, is going to be Stephen Colbert, because I don't know who he is. I know what he was.
Yeah.
I know what a great actor he is playing that character. But what's that show going to be like? Is it going to be Carson-esque? Is it going to be Letterman-esque? That to me, he could come on and completely redefine it again, just as Jimmy has.
I think he may come on and just interview guests for 5 or 6 minutes and then play games. Oh, wait.
There you go.
Somebody's already doing that. And what do you, as a Tonight Show veteran, think of the current Tonight Show?
It's obviously it's different, and you know, I don't want to be one of those old guys say, you know, back in the day when we had a V4 engine. You know what I mean? It's, and you know, again, that's the car analogy. Leno, by the way, told me, you know nothing about cars. Never put the word car in a joke.
Yeah. If he hears this interview, he'll go, there was never a V4. What are you talking about?
Yeah, the 67 Buick everyone knows is a V74. What, huh?
Wait a minute. Yeah.
So, you
whoa.
Know,
that's the imitation that John, that right there is the Jay Leno imitation John never did while working for Jay Leno.
Oh, but you know what? Ian sitting in here, John, does a pretty good Jay Leno too.
Here's the best Leno. Tell Ian that the best Leno would be to send me a large check every Thursday.
Yeah, no, I can't do that. 22 years.
That's right.
I can't
do that. Go ahead, Ian. Give him a little.
And then, John, there was never such thing as the V4. I'm sorry. I'm trying to tell you.
Are you sure that's not Leno there?
But I wanted to ask you while we're talking about the changing of late night. You know, Letterman's going through this long goodbye now. And again, if you're old enough to remember Carson's long goodbye, that was a goodbye to the real king of late night. And while Letterman was a paradigm changer who even gave Jay Leno his boost by letting him appear on the old NBC show, Letterman's, as let's be frank, been phoning it in for years now. And you know, it seems like he can't really relate to a lot of the young stars who are coming on there, and he doesn't really care about that. And I'm curious, especially last year before Jay was forced out for the second time from The Tonight Show, did he go through any of that where it's just like, okay, let's just get this over with. Let's not make a big deal about it.
You know, it's interesting. It's a great question. And the thing is, Jay is so businesslike and matter-of-fact. So, I mean, I honestly think that if Jay had had his way, he would have done that last show and then just said, okay, thanks, everybody, see ya. You know, and caught the plane to go do the Foxwoods Casino. You know what I mean? Which basically is what he did. But, you know, obviously NBC wanted a big farewell, and there was a lot of people who wanted to make a big fuss. And Jay's never been one. He never – think about it. We did one anniversary show. We did a 10th anniversary show. And networks love anniversary shows because it's a way to, you know, build up. It's a primetime thing. It's great. We did one. Jay said, I don't want to do an anniversary show. And to me, in the end, I think he would have been very content to just go out, have some, you know – maybe have those guests he liked best, which he did on that last show, and caught out. But that whole 4 or 5 week, you're in the final 22 shows now, the countdown, that's really not him.
Yeah. Was it painful for you to see the clock ticking down?
It was painful for me when every Thursday they stopped walking a check into my office and putting it in my That was painful and really upsetting.
But the good news about you, and I know you for a long time, is you're such a hustler that you have continued to work on so many different projects, including the inimitable lip sync battle that Jimmy Fallon is doing on Spike TV on Thursday nights, where you have to write ad libs that we don't even get to see from Chrissy Teigen.
You know, hold on one second. I'm working a lemonade stand right now outside my house. Hold on. Yeah, three cups of sugar. The answer to the question is what I mean. I mean, I miss Jay every day. You know what I mean? I miss that interaction because he's, as you've known me say for years, what you see is what you get. One of the nicest guys in the world, a guy whose door was literally and figuratively always open. I also miss when you wake up and you see that someone else has jumped the White House fence.
Yeah.
You know, I miss when you see Hillary carrying her own bags through the airport.
Yep.
You know, I'm saying, okay, I got a good 40 jokes on those two things. Oh, wait, I have nowhere to send them. And so that I miss to a degree. And, you know, because in the end, when you're doing award shows, you're writing for, you know, comics, you know, like, a Billy Crystal or a Steve or whatever, it's not topical, and it's a different type of writing.
Well, years and years of award shows, 22 years writing monologue jokes for Jay Leno, plus a few months writing jokes for me, 7-time Emmy nominee, and as Chris Rock says, one of the greatest comedy writers of all time. The book is called Monologue, What Makes America Laugh Before Bed. John Max, always great to have you back on the show.
It's great talking, Paul. I loved it.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
And we're going to get a check on traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Well, we've got a crash reported southbound 141 at Graboid Bluffs. Another crash highway 100 at West Osage. If you're coming in on eastbound 70, you're going to hit the brakes west of Grand through the depressed section on westbound 44. Then things open up. If you're traveling westbound 70, you're running slow now from a little bit west of highway 170 through McKelvey. And then also westbound 40 jams up from Kings Highway through McCausland, from Lindbergh out through Timber Lake Manor. And this traffic report brought to you by Ortho Deer Be Gone Repellent. It keeps animals from destroying the plants in your garden, and the no-stink formula works without smelling horrible. Learn more about how Deer Be Gone lives up to its name at ortho.com. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Getting you up to date as you head to work.
McGraw in the morning.
Some say he's just a legend.
On the Big 550 KTRS.
Depend on it.
For over 30 years, Stefanina's has been serving delicious original family recipes brought from Sicily to America by founder Stefanina herself. Outstanding food, large portions, low prices, and great service in a family atmosphere has made Stefanina's one of the area's finest Italian restaurants. With four locations in St. Charles County and one in Chesterfield, Stefanina's is a place to go for everything from pizza and pasta to steak and seafood dinners that the entire family can enjoy. And now you can save even more with their daily specials. Call ahead or order online at steffspizza.com or dine in. But don't miss these savings.
Hey, pizza lovers, it's Friday. That means you can enjoy two large, two-topping pizzas for only $22.95 at Stefanina's. Call your local Stefanina's or Stefanina's Express location or order online at steffspizza.com. Two large, two-topping pizzas for only $22.95, just in time for the weekend at Stefanina's.
Spend your Sunday afternoons with KTRS. At 3 p.m., it's the Girard Realty Show.
Basically, if the house doesn't appraise for the value that you've agreed to pay, the buyer has three options.
Followed at 4 by the Big Barbecue Show.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. Good afternoon, barbecue enthusiasts. We are broadcasting live from St. Louis Home Fire.
All this adds up to one extraordinarily indisputable fact. Sunday afternoons are special on the Big 550 KTRS.
For your real estate needs, you need the K. Bova Selling Team, now powered by RE/MAX Properties West. Make your realty dreams a reality. Find the K. Bova Selling Team at sellingstlewis.com.
Imagine if your life was a book. Every day a page, every chapter an age. You can't choose the length of your story, but you can choose a pleasant ending. Until there is a cure, there is hope. Hope Hospice assists those with a terminal condition and their families with the physical, emotional, spiritual, and social symptoms that accompany such a prognosis. No out-of-pocket expenses wherever you call home. Let our family care for yours. Call 314-962-HOPE to learn about the importance of having the right care.